Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What world is going on here?
Bulldog, this is Men at Work.
Suddenly, why did you
6 foot four and full of muscle?
Why did you play this straight all of a sudden? What happened to you?
You speak my language.
Come on.
He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
Thank you. You nailed it.
I come from the land down under. Ba 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 ba.
Thunder. Thunder. The end there.
Can you hear? Can you hear the thunder?
Oh, see, I was wrong.
You better run. You better take cover.
Oh!
Wow. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Wow, there's one word for it. What awful singing. Except for Ryan.
Do you have, like, a concert? Best player yet to win a major. Best concert going that you've yet to see, or band, or artist? Well, what's, like, number one right now that you have yet to get to that you might be thinking about?
My. Holy cow. Like active, living, right?
Like, yeah, like something that's
not something
possible.
I didn't see that I can't see, right? Yeah, something possible? Huh. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I'd have to really, that is not a thing you can just spring on me.
Okay.
I would need to sit and think about it because most of the people I really, really admire, we go see. I mean, we're going to see Wilco. They're playing two full shows next weekend. We're going to be there for the whole weekend, Memorial Day weekend in Western Massachusetts in the Berkshires. War on Drugs are coming to Buffalo shortly after that, June 11th. We're going to that. Drive-By Truckers are coming to Buffalo. We're going to see that. And I've traveled to see all of these bands numerous times in my life. Like, just not, you know, across the country, but, you know, half a day's drive, you know, places to go see them when they skip Buffalo. So, man, I don't know. I would need to really put some time into thinking about that.
You kind of just do it when it comes up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, people I want, like, you know, Twitter, I see, you know, everybody that I'm interested in, normally when they announce a tour, I see the whole schedule right away, and I look right away. Like, okay, are we on it? No. Is there anywhere close that's on a weekend? You know, mm-hmm. Toronto, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, whatever. So, yeah, I don't miss out on a lot of the artists that I want to see.
What about sports? Is there a bucket list item?
I mean, F1 is vaulted
F1.
Almost to the top of my desire. Like, I really want to get to an F1 race.
So, just somewhere?
Yeah, somewhere. Montreal, Miami just happened. Austin is on the schedule. Vegas is going to be next year, I think. So there's options close by. I don't have to go to you know, whatever, Abu Dhabi or something to see a race. That's up there. I'll tell you, the default answer for me to that for a long time would have been the Daytona 500, and I still would say I would like to go to that, but F1 blows it out of the water to me right now.
Hmm. How about you, Joe?
I want to get to Anfield to see a Liverpool game live, but it is very difficult. That's probably a way down the road thing.
Is that because of tickets?
Yeah, it's hard. You got a... There's like a season, it's not called a season ticket member card, but you got to have like a card to buy tickets. You're almost, when you get tickets, from what I've read on like how to do it, is you got to almost rent somebody's card that gets tickets and then buy the tickets after that. Wow. So it's a little bit of a hassle from what I've read, but it's possible. Beyond that,
I'd like to go
to any college
football
game.
I like both these ideas.
Mm-hmm. Never been to any college football game that isn't just UB.
Big. So, like a big stadium?
Yeah, like Penn. This almost happened. Actually, COVID maybe hurt this a little bit. There were some plans being made for a Penn State-Iowa game at Happy Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that would be in there.
These are all good ideas. All things I've never done, really. I've done some college football, but not the other things.
Yep. I would take a Saturday in the fall and go to South Bend. At this point, just being in the parking lot of that stadium when Owen and I were, where the hell were we, on our way to Des Moines maybe 3 years ago?
Yep.
And we stopped in South Bend. That was like halfway, from here to there to Des Moines. And so we spent the night there, and then the next morning went and we walked around inside the ice rink. It was awesome. Like, that was just open. We just went in. I remember Owen was like, should we be doing this? I'm like, I don't know, it's a college campus. The door is open. I don't know, whatever. Let's just go in. Like, we're not getting in trouble. Like, I don't know. Maybe we will. Whatever, we're going in. And then we got the whole perimeter of the stadium, of the football stadium, but we never got inside.
I said, yep, like I was there. I wasn't there, but I remember that you stopped there on that trip.
Yeah, and for me, I think I said this when I got back, like, I've never really cared about Notre Dame football. Like, I might, if anything, root against Notre Dame just because I like their rivals, I guess. But standing in the parking lot of the stadium, I'm like, okay, I understand why people say you got to go here. Like, it just felt like something, you know, and I wasn't even inside it.
Touchdown, Jesus.
Yep, saw that the night before.
Notre Dame, Ohio State, I think, is their opener at the Shoe. What about the Shoe, Joe?
The Big House before the Shoe, I think.
Big House over Shoe?
I think so.
Fine. It's farther.
Right?
It's farther. Not by much. Not by much.
Yeah, at Ohio State, September 3rd.
Notre Dame at Ohio State.
$300. Yeah, I'm not going to that.
Where do you sit for $300 at that game?
You got to care about the result. They're the teams, I think, to have to spend that much.
Yep. Up
there. I'm looking now.
You know, one thing about this idea, or, you know, maybe especially Ohio State, like, Joe, you don't do any Devy leagues, right?
No, I do not.
So, fantasy leagues for players, including players that are not yet to the NFL, or even have been drafted, you know, just deep dive sort of stuff. Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, and what's the name of the receiver who had that massive game last year, end of the season, and it wasn't Olave and it wasn't Garrett Wilson.
Oh, Smith.
How do you say it?
I don't know.
Hyphenated name.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it or else I would tell you. So you have guys like if you went to that game, and maybe Notre Dame has somebody, if you went to that game, you could actually get it. I think you could. I think you'd get into those guys and, like, you know, sort of, not, you're not really scouting it for fantasy or anything like that, but it would sort of be part of, I think that would be part of the appeal. For me, it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just be there for the scene and the beer and the band and all the, you know, the whatever. I'm resisting the urge to use the word pageantry here, but, you know, it's the whole vibe, you know, that's it.
Yeah, like, these are all really interesting ideas, I think. And
what,
like,
about you?
Well,
do you have a list?
I am always, the first thing I always think of is baseball stadiums. But I don't have one right now that I haven't been to that I'm like eager to get to. Even the Mets. I have a friend who lives in Washington who is a Mets fan, and he and I sometimes talk about meeting somewhere for like a for a game. And I said I when I saw him in, I don't know, March or something, I'm like, I have not been to that ballpark yet. So, you know, that would be something, but I never sort of think about sort of planning and executing that trip. You know, it wouldn't be my whole family going, and so what am I just going to, hey, I'll be back on Monday. I'm going to go to New York for a couple days and hang. I just, that doesn't sort of sit well sometimes for me to just go do that. I do some of that already. Mm-hmm. So to add to that list, so to speak, like I'm not eager to do it. But I've got like more than 20 ballparks already down. All the California ones, you know, most of Major League Baseball I've been to. So I think of that, but I love the soccer idea. That's also not just like, I'm going to England for a day.
Right, right.
I mean, that's a big trip.
That's a big trip is right. Yeah.
You know, F1 doesn't have to be, but I'd be curious about that, I guess.
Yeah. For me, the soccer, I also would like to go see like almost any Premier League match, right? I mean, I'd like to see my team, but I would just like to see it. There is almost no way I can imagine starting a conversation with my wife that involves me going to Europe that isn't like a 3-week vacation or something, like just some massive, because we've never been, and it's something that she will bring up occasionally that like someday we're gonna have to, and I'm like, I'm never disagreeing, but like if I just come in off the top rope with, hey, I want to go to Manchester United next October, she's just gonna laugh at me. Like, okay, no, we're not going to England so you can go to soccer. It's just not gonna happen. I'm ruling that out for me for now. Mm-hmm. If I can make it a part of something else, then you know, maybe that'll work. But I can't imagine. I'm admitting that I'm at her mercy on this. There's no way I'm pulling that off. I mean, she's lived through a lot of garbage with Owen and, like, I mean, stuff that she never, ever wanted to sign up for. I can't do it to her.
So Joe and I were talking at like, right before 3 o'clock, watching the golf together, and Matt Kuchar shows up on the screen. And I just think to ask Joe, how much money do you think that guy's won? Take a shot at it. How much money has Matt Kuchar won on tour?
$63 million.
That's good. I guessed 30, but then I'm like, is it more than that? And then Joe said 100. Like, could it be 100? It's $54 million. Just on tour.
Right.
I'm at the tour website for that list, the all-time money leaders. Joe went to SpotTrac, which I guess has a similar list. It might include USGA events or other golf. But $54 million is ninth all-time, Matt Kuchar. Is that in any way surprising? Ninth all-time, $54 million. Like, you were really close on the number.
No, I mean, he's in his late 40s.
Mid to late. Okay.
So, I mean, he's been around a long time. So, you know, he's not off the tour yet. So he's a compiler, you know,
he's 43. He's
so, yeah, I don't know. That doesn't stun me that he's that high on that list.
Is he a compiler, Joe?
Oh, he is a compiler.
No majors.
Right.
That, U.S. Amateur at Oak Hill I was talking about, Kuchar was like maybe the biggest deal. I don't know if he was top ranked or just what he was or seeded, but 97 at Oak Hill USAM, Kuchar was a big name. He and Sergio, who by the way is right next to him on the all-time list. Sergio Garcia is 10th. And again, I'm thinking that doesn't include European money.
Right, I was going to say, I would think he's earned a lot more. Yeah, I'm going to go. I would think he would have earned a good amount more than Kuchar, but it's probably not included in that list.
$54 million. That's a nice life.
You think?
Being Matt Kuchar plus endorsements.
Right.
You probably don't pay to eat places.
No, that actually. Who was the golf writer that
Bob Herrig?
Jeremy Bob Herrig was on earlier. That's one of the gripes that a lot of like Fowler and Mickelson, but that's more like a lot of the guys that are talking about these other tours. One of their big issues is that the PGA does not pay for anything. They don't pay for travel. They don't pay for meals. They don't pay for hotels. And a lot of these golfers are like, okay, well, all these other sports leagues do it. Are we just not a sports league then? We're not even going to pretend we are? Like, I think that's actually one of these issues that's coming up right now, is the PGA pays for nothing for the players other than prize money.
The tour. Hmm. All right.
I'm very surprised to hear that. I did not know that. I've been so quick to just sort of, you know, pile on Mickelson and Greg Norman for their insensitivity about their comments, and they deserve that. But that sounds like a legitimate beef to me.
Yeah, I think that whole thing is getting consumed by the Saudi part of it, rightfully so, because it's blood money where a lot of this is coming from. But like, should the PGA also like work with players on some of this stuff? Like, the point that Bob was making was Fowler, who has, like, the only way you make a living on the tour is if you win, is if you play well. There's no base salary, and you're paying to go to all these tournaments for travel, again, food and hotels and all that. So you're expensing a lot, and if you don't play well, like Fowler hasn't for 3 years, you've got no money coming in. So you're just, you're hedging on, I'm going to be successful. And then when you're not, then you're beginning to hemorrhage money. And I think that's probably one of the, that's got to be the biggest issue. That I think the whole, it's not just the LIV Tour too. There's the Premier Golf Tour that was popping up too for these reasons.
Hmm, I like it. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally to the text line, a text that reads, "Where has all the fantasy talk gone?" This is from A.
Give me that phone number.
A. Krautwurst.
I'm going to find a way to Google that and go and attack that person.
A. Krautwurst. You think that's Adam Krautwurst?
I need that at 5:24 on a Friday. Like, I need a, I don't know what, whatever.
All right, Joe, let's give Mr. Krautwurst one. Let's give him a nugget. Let's give him something. Wide receiver one this year will be who?
Justin Jefferson. Would be my answer.
You know, fine.
And he's what, going as wide receiver two? I mean, I'm not going,
three.
Not going on a limb really there to say that.
Cup, but Chase, Jefferson in some order. Cup, I think, is one, and then Chase and Jefferson are like two and three. And then it's kind of, it gets a little bit mixed up after that. Diggs. Tyreek has slipped a little bit since his trade. A.J. Brown also
Adams.
Traded.
Adams also traded.
Yep. Debo, not traded, but wanted to be.
Metcalf's no longer in this because of his quarterback.
You're not giving me Darnell Mooney here for wide receiver one in the NFL.
No, I could see him being top 10, though. If you want a hot take, I'm in on that as top 10. He is going to have the highest.
Joe's been trying to fix.
There's something going on here.
The microphone, it just snapped right off on him.
Highest target percentage in the league is where I was going with that.
Darnell Mooney.
I was attacked by my microphone.
You know what? Can you picture what just happened? These things?
Yes, 100%.
Just like snapped right
100%.
Off. 100%. He caught it. At least. I think the Jefferson pick.
Can I? I'm sorry to be an idiot, but for anyone in our audience who is like me going, I'm not entirely sure where Darnell Mooney is playing, can you just tell us?
Bears.
Thank you.
I think I would also say Jefferson. Because super high efficiency and big production, and I think there's a chance Minnesota is more pass happy than we're used to seeing. Less Dalvin Cook, more, you know, Justin Jefferson.
Well, Dalvin Cook, there were stories this week that Dalvin Cook was lining up as a receiver.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, whoa.
You know, T Higgins could be right. T Higgins could be a good guess too. I think Cincinnati also will throw the ball more. They started to later on in the season, and they were almost unstoppable, at least at times. And Higgins is great. Maybe not quite to the Chase level, but way up there. So I think I'd like that if there were odds on it. All right, there you go, sir. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your text.
It's like six guys that could be the right answer, I think.
At least, right? I mean, who knows if there's another I mean, just get
none of them are Diggs, right? Like
Diggs is.
Yeah, I think he is.
CD Lamb.
I was just gonna say Lamb. Like a lot of his, like Matt Harmon likes him a lot for like getting open and like full route tree, and now the decks are cleared, right? Like Amari Cooper is gone. Gallup is maybe going to miss the beginning of the season, but they just paid Michael Gallup, their receiver, a bigger contract, so he's still there. And Dalton Schultz will command some as a tight end, but like he's the number one. And year three, after a small jump in year two, with a pass-heavy offense and a good quarterback, like that could be number one.
McLaurin. Maybe they're behind a lot. Wentz just heaves it up there. McLaurin's great. Maybe there's a figure there, too.
Does Carson Wentz give you the number one receiver production, though, in the season?
No way.
I mean, I guess I'm saying Kirk Cousins could, but...
Cousins? Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of volume with Cousins over the years.
Yeah, and Jefferson, to me, is just on another level.
Like, he's great.
He's the receiver I think I'd... Him and Chase. If you want to start a franchise and you're picking your receiver, it's one of those two, I think.
Mm-hmm. Paul Hamilton coming up next. We'll talk about the Amerks' win in their series against Utica. They were able to win on the road last night to advance, and some NHL playoffs as well with Paul. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs. Sneaky Joe is here as well. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and Sawhinski.
We have a fight.
With Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
Paul, who is this announcer to say that the hit was unnecessary?
I probably would have been good for the Utica Comets because I saw a lot of unnecessary hits by them that pretty much cost them the series. They were not a very smart team. They're a good team, but they're not a very smart team. And the Amerks got a power play goal in every game. And one of the big reasons why they won in five.
Well, exciting, right? I mean, for them and for Rochester and the players and the Sabres who get more time for these guys to play and, you know, compete. And also for you, I would think.
Oh yeah, I'm ecstatic. I mean, I'm really looking forward to, you know, covering some more playoff hockey. And
you would not have been at a Laval Utica tussle.
Yes. And you know, there were six teams in the division. Number six didn't get in. Number five played four, so they eliminated the number four team, and that gave them the honor of playing the number one team, and they took them out in five games. So, and quite honestly, we're the better team in most games except game four. Game four by Utica by far was the better team. But other than that, the Amerks played pretty well. I mean, adding Krebs and Fitzgerald to their lineup really made them a better team. And that's not even with Samuelson. I mean, he hasn't played a game yet. So imagine if he would be able to play. He'd be their best defenseman right away if he was able to be in the lineup. So. And then they lost Weisbach right away in the first game, and he was out. And they lost the last two games. Their captain, Mike Mersch, who was kind of the glue for that team, he hasn't played. And they really did miss him in game four, but they overcame it in game five. And so, you know, they've had some – and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been out, so they've had some injuries, and they've overcome them. And now they're on to the next round to play Laval.
How much time do they have here, Paul, before this next round with Laval gets going?
Well, the first two games are in Laval, and they are Sunday and Monday.
Okay.
And then the home games, it's a best of five, so there is a game three. That's in Rochester on Wednesday, May 25th. And if game four is necessary, that'll be on Friday, a week from tonight, May 27th.
Has there been, I know you spotted Samuelson limping still early in the week, was that?
Mm-hmm.
You told us that?
Yeah, that would have been game three, I believe. Three or four, one of the two of them. I think it was game three. It was game three.
So, I don't know. I mean, maybe he can get healthy here. I don't know. Maybe they can keep winning. But it's starting to feel like, you know, gosh, when they all went down there, I thought, like, that guy's just going to jump right in the lineup and be awesome, and that's going to be great. And then, you know, we just haven't seen him since. I wonder if it's a long shot for him to play at all at this point.
Yeah, I'm real curious, you know, and we won't know until after the season is over. but I'm real curious to find out when that injury happened, if he was nursing it through the end of the regular season with the Sabres, or if it happened in that last game and he just finished the game, or what exactly happened. But I was thinking when I heard he was hurt, it'll just be a day or two. He just finished up with the Sabres. He should be okay, maybe a game or two. And now it's turned into two series that he's had to sit out. And he did practice once this last week, and it didn't go well. So he only practiced once so far since he's been there.
Paul, is Aaron Dell playing these games?
Yeah, he is. He's played them all except for the third period in game four, where they were behind 4-0, and it really wasn't his fault. I'll tell you what, that was the game that the Amerks just didn't play well. And he's been an interesting goaltender. There have been some goals I thought to myself, you got to stop that. But then it just seems like he slams the door after a while. And it seems like the later the game is, the bigger the save he makes. For example, against Utica here in game five, they scored twice on him. And then for the next 48 minutes, nothing. That's it. They didn't get another goal on him. And he only had to make 19 saves in the game, but some were some very good saves, especially in the third period after Amherst had tied the game and taken the lead. He was called on for a couple of big saves there. That first overtime game in the first series against Belleville, they don't win that game at home if it's not for him in overtime. He made three saves where he was down and out, and it didn't look like there was any chance. And he made three phenomenal saves there, and that gave them the opportunity to get the overtime goal to win the game. So he's been an interesting case. You look at his numbers, they're not good. If you look some of the goals against, you go, eh. But when it's mattered, he's been there.
Yeah. I think they call that a gamer.
Yeah.
I think it's how that goes. Yeah, it's funny. I was, last night when they clinched this game and won the series, there was some chatter amongst some folks who, follow me and, of course, are interested in the Amerks. And one fan tweeted at me, this thing was going to go long enough for them to get Luukkonen back in there. And I had the same thought. Somebody else who was in the thread said, it's Dell's net. And, that's got to be right. I mean, they've won, say what you will, it's a play-in round, but they've won two rounds here. Unless something goes horribly wrong and Luukkonen is healthy and ready to play, I mean, I would think Dell is just, you're going to ride and die with him at this point.
Well, especially this time of year, players won't necessarily be 100% to get back in the lineup. But in this case, since you've got a guy who has started off and, taking out the number one team in the division and played pretty well doing it. As I mentioned, first of all, it's not going to be, he's 98%, let's throw him in, unless right. Dell for some reason is struggling against Laval. It would be, all right, he's 100%, then maybe you're going to flop around with a decision and think about what you want to do. But you're definitely not going to – where Samuelson, I think he goes in even if he's not 100%. If he can get out there, he will. I don't think that would be the case with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
So who else here, Paul? We've talked a little bit here through this series here, through both of these series. Krebs has been prominent. I mentioned the other day Quinn can't seem to score, but I saw he got some pretty nice compliments still from their coach after this series win last night.
Well, he's a lot like Renato. He's going to try to build up his players. What I saw from Quinn in Game 4, I told you how badly Rochester played, and I should have said except him. I thought that was the best I had seen him play in a while. He had a post. He had got a great chance out in front of the net where he actually caught the arm and then the mask of the goaltender and took the mask right off of him with the shot. But he got himself loose in the slot to do it. And I thought that was probably one of the better games I had seen him play in a while. I think part of the reason was he was out there with two veteran players. He went out with Malone and Mersch, I believe it was that game, or McInnes might have been. It might have been McInnes. And it might have helped him a little bit just to be with the veteran players and calm him down a little bit and get some of that pressure that he's had and some of that physicality that's come at him. But obviously, I wasn't in Utica, so I can't tell you about Game 5, but Game 4, I thought that was a better, much better game for him.
Paul, just one more thought for me on this. I prefaced a thing about that I was asking you about getting to go to more games, how the Sabres would also find it great that they get to see these guys play more. To what extent and what more would you add to that? Like, how much does it mean to Kevin Adams or to Don Granato that the Amerks advanced?
Well, when Brian and I had Kevin Adams on for our final pregame show, he was saying, you know, he had told Appert making the playoffs is important, but he doesn't want them making the playoffs and sacrificing some of the younger players in their development. And he goes, I think the development is more important. He goes, we're not obsessed with the playoffs. And I told him straight out, he goes, I am. I said, I think it would be a huge thing for your young players and for that team to get into the playoffs and to be able to, he kind of laughed when I said that. But I think it has been. And, you know, he might have just, because at that time, it didn't look good for Rochester. I mean, they needed some help from Toronto, and they got it. But they needed a lot of help. They right. had to win their game. They needed a lot of help and got it from Toronto and got in. So it wasn't looking real good at the time there. So he might have been putting a pretty face on it too. But, yeah, this has been great for Krebs. You know, he had problems in the game four. They were taking his passing lanes away from him, but he's right back on track in game five. And he had said that after the game. We talked to him after the game, and he understood what they did to him. And, you know, he knew what he had to do to make it different in game five, picked up another assist. He leads the American Hockey League in assists with 9 in 7 playoff games. So Ristolainen is the AHL's leading scorer with 11 points in 7 games, and Krebs is the leading assist guy with 9. And they aren't cheap assists that he's getting. He picked up another one in last night's game, and these are assists where he's threading it through some people and getting it across to Ristolainen on the power play, and not only getting it through them, but putting it right in the wheelhouse for these guys to be able to score goals or be able to set up goals. So, you know, I think this has been very important for him. Even Quinn, you know, not Quinn just finding out what this is like and now finding out what he's going to have to do to get stronger. So next time a playoff comes around, whether it's the National Hockey League or the American Hockey League, he's ready, and he will put the work in. That's one thing I do know about this kid. He works hard, and now he's gone through this. I think it's been good for him, and he's going to be able to figure out just exactly what he's going to have to do to be better next time he's in this situation.
I look forward to talking more about them with you in the coming days here.
Yep, I'm looking forward to seeing some more good hockey.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. That's our Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline, and his appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Hopefully you took advantage if you sort of appreciated or liked Joe Ostrowski's logic yesterday on the Blues Avalanche series. What's the play? Because you asked him a question about that, and he said, well, he sort of talked it out. What's the play? The public's going to be all over Colorado -1.5 after the shot advantage they had in the first game. So probably the play is the Blues. What I like about that and what sort of agrees with my sensibilities about Joe is that it didn't matter at all to him like who the better team was. You don't hear the word momentum from Joe. You don't hear, you know, who wants it more. You don't hear garbage. And he was talking about that. What did he find in the numbers? He found that everybody's going to kind of want to bet Colorado -1.5 because the money line price is too high, and they were just dominant.
Yep.
And they didn't. They only won the first game in overtime.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, it seemed maybe a little bit smart to bet the Avs that way. And he's like, so probably the play is the Blues.
I was on the Blues last night.
There it is.
That came up. I think a little tongue in cheek asked, you know, what are you on? You know, because I the Chinese thing,
right
from the Olympics. But yeah, the Blues. I'm 6-for-6 so far through the 6 games of the second round.
Nice. So,
favorites tonight. Like, it's not a real sexy night. Although I did. You don't want to hear. You'll make fun of me. I don't want to tell you, but I do have the Flames and Carolina again tonight, so I'm rolling with that.
Why not?
Yeah, right. But it's just, you know, it's I'm addicted. wrong word. I like putting the dollar amount in and seeing that number on the right go, like, you know, and when it's, you know, two favorites, you know, it's $10 and it's $14. Oh, is this even worth doing? I'm pretty confident I'm going to win, but I don't know. That's not any fun.
Yeah.
So I grabbed four guys to score goals in that game tonight. And that is like plus 4,000 or something.
You need them all to score.
All to score. McDavid, Dreisaitl, Gaudreau, and Tkachuk. If they all score, I'm winning $470.
Chalky, but okay.
Yeah, right.
Who needs to get too weird with that if it's like that good a payout?
Yep.
All right, good luck. I'll root for 9-6. Did they all score in that game?
They did. I'm not sure about Gaudreau, whether he scored a goal.
If this game is 9-6 and you don't hit that, I'll be mad.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, if that game is 6-5 and I don't hit that,
okay.
I'll be mad.
Okay. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after this on WGR.
Wade's got it back to Commodore for a shot that is scrapped for, and eventually bringing it up is Hesch. Jochen Hesch picks up McKee out of the box. McKee crosses now. Shoot! He scores! Jay McKee! 3-1 in favor of the Sabres.
Game one. 16 years ago today. 16? Well, okay, different house, old friends, not old, like, out of my life or anything like that, but Saber friends, so to speak. I don't know. John. John's a guy I like a lot. I still see him sometimes. I don't even know what just trying to put that game into sort of context, how long ago that was. His son was there, and his son, I believe, is like, I don't know. He probably runs like some giant company by now. Hmm. Afternoon game one of the Carolina series. It's funny that you play that because I have a game for you guys, and it's about announcers.
Ooh. All right.
And you might just actually need to know that announcer's name for this game. You might. We'll see.
That's an easy one.
Will Zalatoris in the lead alone at 7-under at the PGA. He's from San Francisco. 24. Went to Wake Forest.
I'll resist the urge to say I hope something unfortunate happens to him over the next 24 hours.
Yeah, definitely don't say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to sound like the sort of person that hopes he sprains his ankle on a sprinkler head or something between now and the end of his round.
That doesn't sound like you.
No.
When it comes to this bet.
I'm way too considerate a decent human to wish misfortune on a highly skilled, talented golfer simply to save myself $50.
Maybe not physical harm. You could root for him to like sleep through his alarm and miss his tee time.
Yeah. Something like that would that be
because I assume
fair?
I assume you're disqualified.
That's not any fun
if that happens.
Yeah, they don't let you
go
out later.
Right. I don't think they let you hit the snooze. No.
Right, you can't show. I don't. Yeah, no.
Sir, I'm
no
going
way
to play all the holes.
Yeah, can you
sneak me out in this other group?
Can't you just let Lowry go in my spot and I'll take his? I'm sorry, I don't know if that really matches up, but you know, yeah. Although he is, if he's leading, he'll be last.
Right.
The last, so they could just wait, hold the plane.
Someone's definitely missed their tee time in the PGA.
Probably
right?
That's happened before. Well, he has passed Justin Thomas for the moment, 7-under. The winds have just quit. It is not the big, you know, windstorm that even this morning was or that yesterday afternoon was at all. And, you know, you're seeing some lower
morning
numbers.
Crew, the morning crew from yesterday is making out again.
That's right. They got it better both days.
Yeah.
They got it better both days.
That's tough.
Tiger's at 5-over. The cut is 4, and he's got maybe 6 or 7 holes left. All right. Back after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.